Late news and information, we give them you. With no more hesitation, no more ado. Here's Not In It. Please take your medicine, dear world. Please keep your pressure down, dear world. Promise to thrive on each word your doctor speaks. He'll bring the roses back to your cheeks. For you've been a pallid and a grower. Stick out your tongue and say our word. We'll give you plasma and tonic by the spoon. So be a dear world. Take your medicine, dear world. Keep your pressure down, dear world. And get well soon.
Dear World, from the new and future musical starring Angela Lansbury. Steve Lawrence and Edie Gourmet sang it. My name's Morgan, humming along here with Monitor.
Love is groovy. Love is laughter cut with tears. Love is picnics. Love is death up to your ears. Love is Christmas. Love is dreams that might come true. Love is daisies. Love is what you have to do. Hey, lover, don't you worry. Let the heavy-duty cold power do it. Do it. No matter how dirty. Just suck a little cold power. Do it. Do it. Cold power. No hot water drinking for you. Cold power. Germ groups too. Love is groovy. Love is collared nice and clean. With cold power.
In the new movie, Star, Julie Andrews plays Gertrude Lawrence. The part of Noel Coward is played by an actor named Massey. But it's not Raymond Massey, it's his son Daniel. Jay Miller interviewed Massey the Younger in London, where he's appearing in the stage revival of The Importance of Being Earnest.
Well, Raymond Massey in the United States has certainly had a magnificent film career. You so far have been known mostly, I think, in this country for a theater, haven't you?
That's right. That's right. This is really the first big picture that I've ever done.
And with that, of course, we're referring to Star, in which you play the part of Noel Coward with Julie Andrews. What was it like playing Noel Coward?
Well, it was, first of all, rather frightening because there's this man with a huge public image that everybody knows, what most people know how he is, how he speaks. And that initial fright gave way after a while to huge pleasure because After I'd been working on the picture for a few days or a week or so, it became exciting, really, because how often do you get the chance to play a man who speaks those sort of lines and is that kind of person?
Did you, in point of fact, know him well because of your family?
Yes, I wouldn't say well, except maybe over the last 4 or 5 years I've got to know him better. But I've known him off and on all my life.
Mr. Massey, for the past 175 years or so, there's been a censor on the London stage, actually the Lord Chamberlain, appointed by the reigning monarch of the time. And just now, this era has ended. There is now, in effect, no censorship in London theater. What do you think will happen? Do you think this is a good thing for London's theater?
Yes, I think by and large it is a good thing. I think that the Lord Chamberlain was becoming an arbiter of something which he as a person had no right. For instance, Peter Cook, who's one of the comedians and writers on Beyond the Fringe, you may remember. Well, he was on television the other night talking about his experiences with the Lord Chamberlain, and he sent the script of Beyond the Fringe along. And he got a letter back, you know, from one of these people in the Lord Chamberlain's office saying, look here, you've got four bloodies in there and four bums. Now, I think we'll have to lose three bloodies and possibly a bum. Well, you know, that kind of thing, forget it. It's ridiculous. But I think that there is a danger, and this really has nothing to do with the Lord Chamberlain or censorship, there is a danger that as you begin to take off all the pressures, you take off every blanket there is, and eventually now you can say anything you like, and you can do anything you like. They're now, I think now in Sweden, they're making a picture in which two people make physical love to each other on the screen. Well, in terms of what the picture is, I dare say that's very reasonable. But I just feel that there is a sense of mystery about life, about people communicating or not communicating, which is very, very important. And I think this mystery is in danger of being eroded by total freedom.
Sick, transit, mystery. And also Lord Chamberlain's. That was Daniel Massey, who plays the part of Noah Coward, a man who was once, I suppose, considered to be sort of risque. Today's more like Rebecca of Sunnybrook Farm. Leapy Lee in 1 minute on the Monitor Beacon.
Tomorrow, you can brighten your sleep scene and save at Macy's half-price sale of sheets. Starting tomorrow, Macy's biggest sheet sale in 5 years. Over $400,000 worth of no-iron, first-quality, fancy percale sheets by famous J.P. Stevens go on sale at one-half, less than original price. Macy's bought the entire stock of these luxurious no-iron sheets to bring you these exciting savings, and you can choose from a variety of Stevens patterns, beautiful bedroom colors, and a wide selection of sizes. Imagine twin-size no-iron sheets in flatter fitted sizes, originally $6.79 each, sale priced at two for just $6. Double-size sheets, originally $7.79 each, two for only $7. Hard-to-find queen-size sheets, sale priced at two for $9. And king-size sheets, originally $14.49 each, two for only $12 during Macy's huge half-price sale. Not every size and every color or pattern. Be at Macy's early for your best choice of these colorful polyester cotton no-iron sheets. 50% less than original prices on twin, double, queen, and king sizes. Charge them tomorrow on your Macy account at the Macy's near you.
WNBC, Radio 66, New York.
Nationwide, it's NBC.
Leapy Lee, raised in Eastbourne, England, left school at 15, tried working in a factory, then became an antique dealer, an entertainment manager, and a songwriter. Finally found himself as a singer, and his first big hit to make it in this country, Little Arrows on Monitor.
There's a boy, a little boy, shooting in the blue, and he's aiming them at someone, but the question is at who? Is it me or is it you? It's hard to tell until you're hit, but you'll know it when they hit you, 'cause they hurt a little bit. Here they come pouring out of the blue, a little arrows for me and for you. You're falling in love again, Some folks are run and others hide, but there ain't nothing they can do. And some folks put on armor, but the arrows go straight through. So you see, there's no escape. So why not face it and admit that you love those little arrows when they hurt a little bit? Here they come pouring out of the blue. Little arrows for me and for you. You're falling in love again.
With a song for all you winners. Hey, look at us now. We've got the winners and how Lincoln Mercury leads the way. We've got a great new car. The name is Marquis. It's pure luxury. Drive one and be a winner.
Lincoln Mercury leads the way with the all-new Marquis for 1969. Marquis. The most dramatically styled automobile since the Continental Mark III.
Marquis is so lush, handsome, roomy, and plush in a continental way. Its stunning design really says 69. It's the hottest new line of today. Marquis makes it clear we've got a winner this year. Lincoln Mercury.
Monitor Sports with Joe Garagiola, brought to you by State Farm Fire and Casualty, the world's largest homeowners insurance company.
Hello, I'm Pat Paulson. One night I was sitting in my den trying to relax with a good book in front of a roaring fire. I found it difficult to relax because I don't have a fireplace. Considering the situation carefully, I decided to call the fire department, and I also called my State Farm agent. I called him because I have a low-cost homeowner's policy from State Farm Fire and Casualty, the world's biggest homeowner's insurer. A policy that protects my home and belongings, that covers them in case of fire, storm, theft, that protects me in the event of, perish forbid, a liability lawsuit. Soon I had a check from State Farm to cover damages. I still don't have a fireplace, but I read a lot in front of the furnace.
For your home, your car, your life, and your health. State Farm is all you need to know about insurance.
Here's Joe. In any team sport, there comes a time when the game is more than just a match between two teams. Now, I'm talking about those rare occasions when two great players confront each other. It's a very rare thing. In baseball, while there might be two great hitters playing on opposite sides, they don't really confront each other at what they do best. A great pitcher matches up against a great hitter, but not for a whole game. It used to happen in football before the platoon era, but now the thing that probably comes closest to what I'm talking about is a great flanker against a great defensive back. But there's one place where it does happen, and in that connection, I want to offer a suggestion. If you should get an opportunity this season to see the Boston Celtics against the Los Angeles Lakers, you take a tip from me and do it. I say this for two reasons. First, when Will Chamberlain plays against Bill Russell, you have a very rare thing in sports. It's the ultimate offensive player in the game and in the game's history against the ultimate defensive player. If basketball is your game, it's an exciting experience. And even if it isn't, it's a match so rare
that any sports fan has to appreciate it. The second reason I suggest it is that it just might be the last chance to see it. Russell is on the first year of a two-year contract as a player coach. He might play next year, but if he retires as a player after this season, nobody's going to be too surprised. It'll be a long time before you see another matchup like Russell and Chamberlain. It's always been something special ever since these two played against each other for the first time in the NBA 9 years ago. The first meeting was in Boston, and the pregame publicity was big. Here was the rookie, standing better than 7'1", who was going to rewrite all the records. Opposing him would be the toughest challenge he would have to face. Chamberlain was a challenge to Russell, too. Bill had proved he could stop other big men, but could he stop the great Wilt Chamberlain? Early in the game, Chamberlain took his famous fall-away one-handed jump shot. And for the first time in his career, it was blocked. Consistently, Wilt had trouble getting that shot off, and finally went to his hook shot, which was a lot less effective. And when it was over, Chamberlain had scored 30 points to 22 for Russell, but had taken more than twice as many shots. In rebounds, Russell led 35 to 28. Since then, these two men have had great nights against each other. I don't know how many more of those nights there'll be, and that's why I suggest you see them if you possibly can. This is Joe Garagiola from Monitor Sports.
Joe will be heard again later today on Monitor.
The following political announcement is paid for by Citizens for Humphrey Muskie.
Let's take a better look at Richard Nixon. Nixon is the one who'll tell you he's for the working man, but has always voted against him. Nixon is the one who pledges to end the Vietnam War, but can't say how. Nixon is the one who promises security to older citizens, but opposes Medicare. Apparently, Nixon is the one who isn't quite the one.
Message from the Oak Flooring Institute. You remember the comic book hero with penetrating eyesight who could see right through walls? Wouldn't it be great to have him along when you're looking at new houses? Say you're going through a house with wall-to-wall carpeting. He could warn you right off if there were no permanent finished floors under that wall-to-wall. And that warning could save you money in years to come. The simple fact is that carpeting wears out and has to be replaced. That costs money, a lot of money. Of course, if that x-ray vision reveals beneath the carpeting a floor of good solid oak, you're in great shape. Because oak flooring, whether used with rugs or carpeting, will last the life of your home. It'll never need replacing. And today's finishing methods make oak easier than ever to care for and keep beautiful. Because they retain all their good looks, oak floors help your house keep its resale value, too. When you're looking at new houses, find out what you're walking on. Insist on a floor that will outlast your mortgage. An oak floor. Mancini with a man, a horse, and a gun. In the Shenandoah Valley, you're listening to station WSVA, Harrisonburg, Virginia. All the stations speak up now. We'll be back with more Monitor. My name is Morgan.
Smokey's a fire preventing bear. Smokey says, won't you please, oh please, join the fight to protect our lovely trees. Let's all learn the special name of these, a Smokey, the fire preventing bear. A.
Always hold matches till cold.
B.
Be sure you drown fires out with water.
C.
Crush all smokes dead out in an ashtray.
In the middle of the day, there's me, Jim Gerhardt. And once you find me, you'll never let me go.
Is that a chicken joke?
Well, I'm used to that. Men, women, and children crying for Gerhardt. But don't you cry. I'm yours. Weekdays from noon to three, right here on WNBC, Radio 66, New York.
Interesting.
The Jack Hayes thing. Do it. Weekdays, 9 to noon on WNBC. Radio 66, New York.
Thank you.
Harper's Bazaar. I love you, Alice B. Tockless. Tockless. Alice B. Tockless. Very good cook. Morgan from Monitor. Planning to show you my vacation pictures this half hour. Isn't radio wonderful? That's how all vacation pictures should be shown. First slide, please. See, there I am by Mount Fuji. I'm the one without the snow on top.
Wagon train of love moving slow, and I can see the peace pipe burning low. Criticize each little thing I do, but listen, baby, I've got news for you.
There's too many chiefs and not enough Indians around this house. Baby, I'm tired of this old game we play called cat and mouse. If you don't give to us, around this place, trouble on our happy humming ground. 'Cause you keep stepping too far out of bounds. It's hard to run the reservation right. You stay on the warpath day and night. There's too many chiefs and all of Indians around this house. And baby, I'm tired of this old game we play called cat and mouse. If you don't give just a little bit more, we're gonna lose the race. 'Cause there's too many chiefs and all my things around this place. Look at all the things I have to do to keep this teepee running just for you. But times are tough and the wampum is hard to say. Remember, who's a squaw and who's a brave? There's too many chiefs and all of them around this house. Baby, I'm tired of this old game that they call cat and mouse. If you don't give just a little bit more, we're going to lose the race. 'Cause there's too many chiefs and all of them around this place.
Dean Martin, not enough Indians. When Apollo 7 splashed down last Tuesday, I was in Bangkok, Thailand. I knew that would excite you. I didn't hear anything about it either. I was in the hospital, I had bursitis. I knew that would excite you too. Anyway, Peter Hackus, this happens to be true. Peter Hackus sums up the success of that Apollo 7 flight and reports on what it means for the future. Here's World of Space.
The success of Apollo 7 has led many to say the next logical step in America's moon race with Russia should be a trip around the moon. In their view, Apollo 8 in December should take three astronauts out to the moon as proposed, circle them around it 10 times, and bring them back. That, they say, would be the most advanced manned flight yet and would definitely put us a giant step ahead of the Soviets. But there are those, both in and out of NASA, who are urging that the utmost caution be used in making this decision. True, they point out, Apollo 7 was a pleasing success. But there were problems. Electrical overloads, a false warning indicator, chlorine problems in the drinking water. Medical sensors came loose, and for 3 days there was no medical data. Two plastic bags broke and sent food floating around the cabin. The squirt gun that supplies water broke down, and puddles formed on the floor from water condensation. Also, one of the important objectives was not met. They found it very difficult to navigate by the stars in daylight. So there are problems to be solved. In addition, Apollo 8 will not be launched by a Saturn 1 booster. Instead, this will be the first manned launch of Saturn 5, nearly five times more powerful. It has been launched only twice. The first was a perfect flight. The second was good, but there was a premature engine cutoff, and a serious vibrational bounce developed called the pogo effect. It was so bad, some engineers said that had astronauts been aboard, they would have had trouble even seeing the instrument panel. In case of emergency, it's one thing to return 100 miles from an Earth orbit. Still another thing to come back thousands of miles when you're flying to the moon. NASA experts are beginning to go over reams of data on Apollo 7. They promised a decision by mid-November. There are several alternatives ranging from an Earth orbital flight to the moon orbital trip. They might even decide to fly safely into Earth orbit before making a final decision on whether to go to the moon. Astronauts Borman, Lovell, and Anders will be flying an experimental research vehicle again, boosted into space by a rocket as yet untested with men aboard. NASA's Christmas flight decision will be a hairy one. Peter Hackus, NBC News, Washington.
Hey, well, all right, sir, here we go then. What are you going to give fun? I'm a 25, will you give me $30? 30, make it 30, bid it 30, 35 now. 40, make it 40, bid it 40 now. 5, make it 45 now. 50 on the one. There was a boy in Arkansas who wouldn't listen to his ma when she told him that he should go to school. He'd just go away in the afternoon, take a little walk, and pretty soon you'd find him at the local auction barn. He'd stand and listen carefully, and pretty soon he began to say how the auctioneer talks rapidly. He said, oh my, it's a do or die, I've got to learn that auction cry, make my mark and be an auctioneer. Coming on, he did his best, and all could see he didn't jest. Practice coal and bed both night and day. His dad would find him behind the barn, just working up a heck of a storm, as he tried to imitate the auctioneer. Then something some we just can't stand, rather mediocre man telling. Use an awful name is what we're gonna do, boys. Send you off to auction school, and then you'll be nobody's fool. You can take your place among the best. $35 bid enough, $40, who'd bid a $40, make a $40 bid a $40, who'd bid a $40, who'd bid a $40 bid. $40 bid enough, $45, who'd bid a $45, make a $45 bid a $45, who'd bid a $45, $45 bid. Hey, well, all right, sir, open the gate and let him out and welcome, boys. Here we come, a lot number 29 in. What are you going to give for him? I'm a 20 trying to get a 30 round, 30 make a 30 bid, a 30 now, 5, now, 4, now, 4, 4, 5, now, $50, who'd have been a $50, count it, 5, now, sold.
Brenda Byers and the auctioneer going, gone on the monitor beacon.
Tomorrow you can save at Macy's half-price sale of sheets. Starting tomorrow, Macy's biggest sheet sale in 5 years. Over $400,000 worth of no-iron, first-quality, fancy percale sheets by famous J.P. Stevens go on sale at one-half less than original prices. Macy's bought the entire stock of these luxurious, no-iron sheets to bring you this exciting savings. And you can choose from a variety of Stevens patterns, beautiful bedroom colors in a wide selection of sizes. Imagine twin-size, no-iron sheets in flat or fitted sizes, originally $6.79 each, sale priced at two for just $6. Double-size sheets, originally $7.79 each, two for only $7. Hard-to-find queen-size sheets, sale priced at two for $9. And king-size sheets, originally $14.49 each, two for only $12 during Macy's huge half-price sale. Not every size and every color or pattern. Be at Macy's early for your best choice of these colorful polyester cotton no-iron sheets. 50% less than original prices on twin, double, queen, and king sizes. Charge them tomorrow on your Macy account at the Macy's near you.
WNBC, Radio 66, New York. Orchestra and chorus on monitor with Lady Willpower.
Love is groovy. Love is laughter cut with tears. Love is picnics. Love is death up to your ears. Love is Christmas. Love is dreams that might come true. Love is love is what you have to do. Hey, lover, don't you worry. Let the heavy duty cold power do it, do it. No matter how dirty, just suck a little cold power. Do it, do it. Cold power, no hot water drinking for you. Cold power, germ groups too. Love is groovy. Love is collars nice and clean. With power.
Bobby Goldsboro is on a 10-day tour of the Orient. Here's one of the songs he'll be singing, The Straight Life.
Sometimes I imagine myself as a drifter, seeker of fortunes, connoisseur of great wine, dashing through meadows of yellow and green, trying to catch the impossible dream. Leaving the straight life behind. Sometimes my thoughts may find me in Mexico, drinking tequila, going out of my mind, having a ball on a couple of balls, treating the ladies to corn on the cob, leaving the straight life behind. Suddenly all my silly thoughts disappear. She comes to me softly with crackers and beer, winking and blinking and blowing my ears, running away with my mind. It's great to be in love, I'm not really thinking of leaving the straight life behind. I'm just playing a game in my mind. After a train, humming a song in the sun and the rain, leaving the straight life behind. I can just see me on a tropical island, riding the surf and drinking coconut wine, having me fun with golden girls in the sand, chasing the sun through an innocent land, leaving the straight life behind. Suddenly all my silly thoughts disappear. She comes to me softly with crackers and beer, winking and blinking and blowing my ear, running away with my mind. It's great to be in love, I'm not really thinking of leaving the straight life behind. I'm just playing a game in my mind.
If you're looking at new homes this weekend, the Oak Flooring Institute has this thought for you that can save you money. Carpeting wears out. Oak floors will last for the life of your home. Today, some builders are selling houses with only carpeting over a concrete or plywood subfloor. When that carpeting has to be replaced in a few years, you're the one who has to pay for it. If your new home has oak floors, though, you're in great shape. Exposed or covered with carpeting, beautiful oak floors will never need replacing. When you buy a home, be sure it has a permanent floor. Insist on oak, the floor that won't wear out. Harpsichord and strings, only for lovers. Morgan for Monitor, back soon.
The following is a pre-recorded political program paid for by the Nixon-Agnew Campaign Committee.
Recently, Richard Nixon participated in a live, unrehearsed question-and-answer program before a panel of Georgia citizens. The following is an excerpt of that program.
Mr. Nixon, what would you do as president to bring law and order back to America, and what is your definition of law and order?
Let me start with the definition first. By law and order, I mean law and order for everybody. And let me lay one thing right on the line at the beginning. I know that it has been suggested that law and order is a code word for racism. I don't buy that at all. Let's understand that as far as law and order is concerned, that black Americans have just as great a stake in law and order as white Americans have. Fear stalks the ghettos as well as it stalks the suburbs. And we have to remember that when we think of organized crime, for example, it preys on the poor. The poor people, for example, they are the victims of the narcotics, and they're the victims of the numbers and all the other things which organized crime engages in. If you're going to have law and order, you must also have, among people who do not have a chance, you've got to have the hope that they can go up. You know, it's very easy to say, well, if we just put enough police in the cities to control some of these things, and if we pay them enough and if we give them enough authority, we'll have law and order. Not over the long haul. Because if you have people that have no hope, they eventually will explode. And if they explode, then you simply have what I would call the warfare, which nobody in America wants. We've got to look at some of the decisions that have been handed down by some of our courts. Let me make my position very clear. I'm a lawyer. I've argued a case before the Supreme Court on two occasions. I respect the Supreme Court as an institution. I respect the men on it. On the other hand, I disagree with some of the decisions. And as I look over the decisions of that court in recent years, I have reached the conclusion, that and other courts, that some of our courts in their decisions, and it's only the decisions I'm criticizing, but some of our courts in their decisions have gone too far in weakening the peace forces as against the criminal forces, and we have to ready that balance in the United States. Now, let me give you an example. I was just in Philadelphia the other day. I think we've got to use examples to prove these points. I was in Philadelphia the other day. I found that as a result of one Supreme Court decision that I have criticized, and a decision that will be rectified, provided the law of the Congress does see the get the constitutional approval that it will need. But looking at that particular decision, I found as a result of that one decision, these three things happened. A cab driver had been brutally murdered. The man who confessed it was set free because of that decision. Now, I think that when you have a situation where your courts, because of technical factors involved, have gone that far, what we need to recognize is that the balance between the peace forces and the criminal forces has gone too far in this way. We've got to put it back this way. Because we've got to remember that the innocent in America deserve protection, as well as those who are charged with crime.
If you believe Richard Nixon should be our next president, please help by contributing to his campaign. Send your contribution to Nixon, Box 100, Washington, D.C. We need your help. We need it now. Send your contribution to Nixon, Box 100, Washington, D.C. This time, give like your whole world depended on it.
The proceeding was a pre-recorded political program paid for by the Nixon Agnew Campaign Committee.
Hi. My name is Stanley Myron Handelman, and my mother thinks I'm very funny. She also thinks I'm going to be on monitor later today. She's right.
If you could provide for your loved ones without costing you a penny while living, wouldn't you jump at the opportunity? Well, here's your chance. Here's how it's done. Open a trust savings account at the Dime Savings Bank, the big savings bank for all New York. Name on the account those you wish to provide for, children, grandchildren, anyone. A trust savings account at the Dime is just like a regular savings account. While living, you can deposit and withdraw as you please. There's only this big difference. With a trust savings account, if anything happens to you, the proceeds are payable to those you've named on the account. Money doubles every 14 years before taxes, based on the Dime's latest dividend of 5% a year, paid from day of deposit, compounded quarterly. At the Dime, you have a $2 billion partner working for you. Don't delay. Do this. For postage-free forms to open your account by mail, write Trust Savings to WNBC Radio, 30 Rockefeller Plaza, New York, New York. Trust Savings, WNBC Radio, 30 Rockefeller Plaza, New York, New York. The Dime Savings Bank of Brooklyn, a member of the FDIC.
Gerhardt makes it with music. Make it with Gerhardt. Weekdays, noon to 3 on WNBC.